Good morning, everybody. I'm Lindsay. We'll do a short video, and then I will start the presentation. A Minneapolis couple decided to go to Florida to thaw out during a particularly icy winter. They planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. Because of hectic schedules, it was difficult to coordinate their travel schedules, so the husband left Minnesota and flew to Florida on Thursday with his wife flying down Friday. The husband checked into the hotel. There was a computer in his room, so he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter in her email, and without realizing his error, sent the email. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a minister who was called home to glory following a heart attack. The widow decided to check her email, expecting messages from relatives and friends. After reading the first message, she screamed and fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen, which read, "To my loving wife, subject, I've arrived. I know you're surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you are allowed to send emails to your loved ones. I've just arrived and have been checked in. I've seen that everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S., it sure is hot down here." So, as funny as that is, one person in the United States has died from drug addiction and 8 by the end of this service. There was 969 overdose-related 911 calls, responses in 2023. That's an average of 81 a month. In January in Montana, there were over 30 overdoses and 10 deaths in 10 days due to fentanyl. Societal costs of tobacco, alcohol, and illicit drug use are nearly 6% of the nation's income, ranging about $532 billion a year. In 2022, the United States spent around $41 billion on federal drug control. The amount requested for 2023 to 2024 was significantly higher than that. We are ranked as the number 6 state for drug-related fatalities, and this is a serious problem. These numbers don't include the side effects of drug abuse, like broken marriages, broken families, abused children, loss of public resources, and so on. The cost of addiction is high. But we are here today to talk about a God that is bigger than all of this. A God who, when called on, is willing to heal and restore everyone who has been hurt by drug abuse. The world says once an addict, always an addict. Teen Challenge stands on 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Now in the light of your co-inclusion, in his death and resurrection, whoever you thought you were before, in Christ you are a brand new person. The old ways of seeing yourself and everyone else are over. Acquaint yourself with the new." But the Book of Truth says, in this verse, we become new in a relationship with Jesus. Currently, we live in a world full of chaos with people demanding all kinds of things to make things right. If only they would take a step towards a relationship with Jesus, I think all those points of demand would begin to not matter anymore. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. So I went through the program as well. I'm now interning, and then I will start working there as the outreach coordinator. And so I had a full-blown addiction to meth and fentanyl. I lost my son when he was 4. I've been to jail. I got indicted federally, but God. And so this program has helped me. I now get my son every weekend. I'm working on getting him full-time. Yes. I was the first person to be accepted into the federal drug court that they opened last year, and I should graduate this year. Thank you. And so it's just excellent things. Like, God is the healer, and he, trials and tribulations and everything, he has brought me through it all. And so today we are here to talk, here's your testimony, to talk about what a relationship with the Lord can do. The people you will hear from and those in the group have come through the dark into the light and are here to share with you today. I would like to relate today's presentation to this verse, 2 Timothy 1:7. Become fully acquainted with his gift in you. There is nothing timid about it. The dynamic of one mind liberated in the spirit of love is fearless and unstoppable. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, these women would not be able to share with you today. And with that, I'll ask Yvonne to come up.
Thank you. Life is what you make it. At 65 years of age, I was tired of being sick and tired with life. My story began at an early age when my innocence was shaken from me. My parents were drinkers every weekend. They would drink with my aunties and uncles. One night I cleaned up after them, and I tasted someone's drink, and I liked that warm, fuzzy feeling. Oh. Thank you. My mother got a divorce, and the new guy was a drinker, too. He started sexually molesting me every time my mother would leave the house, here he comes. I told her several times, but nothing happened. Being the oldest child, I had responsibilities like fixing dinner, etc. I would take my brother and sisters with me to avoid him. My friend's stepmother would rather have us at home than out in the streets. She was an alcoholic. She also would go across the street and buy us some beer. We would furnish our own cannabis. And we thought we were living the good life. One morning, I was on my way to work, and the man stopped at the bus stop with a gun and told me to get in the car. And I did it. It was dark, and many women were being found dead in that area. We got on the freeway, and I knew my life was in danger, so I jumped out of the car on the freeway. I had a dislocated shoulder and a bloody face. I went to work and got fired. At that point in my life, I was confused. Why was my innocence taken away at an early age? I did nothing wrong. Loved ones were supposed to love you, not hurt you. I never had a chance. I spent decades trying to drink away those bad memories. Finally, my friend told me about Adult Teen and Challenge. I gave it some thought, and here I am. Adult Teen and Challenge has given me a second chance to live life on God's terms. Being born again has brought me closer to God. I am reading my Bible and praying more. I used to wonder why God was keeping me around when I was doing nothing but wasting space. Well, God wasn't done with me yet. Today, I have a purpose to live. I am learning God's word and how to put my past into use by ministering our youth. I want to give our children a chance because I felt I never had a chance. God had better plans for me. But now in Christ Jesus, I once were far off. I've been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ, for he himself is our peace. He has made me one. I mean, he has made both one. I was broken down. I had broken down the middle wall of my separation. Ephesians 2, 13, 14.
I've got to watch Yvonne grow in her program, and it has been so amazing to see her. She's real sassy, but she's learning. She's great. Reality is, the world is more divided than we have ever imagined. Chaos abounds. Lawlessness and violence are now a normal part of life. Anxiety is at levels never seen. What was once a lie is now the truth, and what was once the truth is now a lie. But the truth is, with the power of the Holy Spirit, I believe Christians from all over the world are now more united than ever. Rest and peace are still available without measure in a relationship with Jesus. We have the number one self-help book, better known as the Bible, to lead us all to truth. And with that, I will ask Letha to come up.
Good morning, guys. My name's Letha, and I'm Northern Cheyenne. And I am a senior student here at Adult and Teen Challenge. I will be graduating next month. So I'm going to tell you a little bit about reality. Reality is losing my soul in my addiction to fentanyl and meth, losing everything I had, including my kids, not caring about anything or anyone else, only they care about my next high. Reality is going to a place where many never come back from, seeing horrible things done to people in ways, always thinking my grave was next. Are the evil people going to be coming for me? Reality is being married to a man who says he loves me, but shows me that he loves me through physical, emotional, and sexual abuse, torturing me until I was afraid of my own shadow and getting two abortions. Reality is using more and more drugs to numb the pain, only to find myself overdosing twice, flatlining once, and thinking the devil has finally won. He has gotten my soul. Reality is writing out my own obituary, thinking that I am better off dead than dealing with my past memories, constantly relieving the pain and the hurt. In Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. I have all that I need. He lets me rest in green meadows, leads me beside peaceful streams. He renews my strength. He guides me along the right path, bringing honor to his name. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect me. Yeah. The truth is, God will meet me where I am. He will use all my mistakes and pain and propel me towards a brighter future with him. For God is here to help me as I work to clean up my life and my relationships with my kids. The truth is, God will help me break through the silence and to give up the secrets, and he will hold me as I go through it. I just have to ask. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The truth is I am created in the image of God with dignity and worth, and I am God's most valuable resource. The truth is Jesus is the only source of comfort and light and capable of guiding me through my pain and my memories to a better place with him. The truth is God broke through that barrier of my indifference to come to my aid. Even though I had reeked of my rotting past, he has wrapped his arms around me and accepted me. And I have 4 kids. I am from the Northern Cheyenne Indian Reservations, which is located in eastern Montana. And I had a lot of, my upbringing wasn't as good. There was no Jesus in her. I gone through a lot of past in my past was really bad. But God brought me to a Dot and Teen Challenge. He's restoring my relationships with my kids. He's breaking off all of that ick that I thought I had to carry. He's reminding me who I am. And I'm looking forward to what he has planned for me. And my son just graduated from high school. He is going into psychology, and he wants to be a youth minister. My youngest son, he loves God. He loves everything. And me, myself, after I graduate, I'll be going into Absolute Ministries, which is kind of the little big brother of a Dot and Teen Challenge. I'm going in for my theology and my psychology, and I'm going to complete that program, which is in Washington, but I will also be coming back here to work with a Dot and Teen Challenge because, you know, we have a lot of hurting people here in Montana, and they need us, and this program has changed my life. It has, like, showed me a different grip on love, on what I thought it was. Jesus, like, he just shows up and shows off. He doesn't, like, just, he's been doing a lot of cool stuff for me. And I'm going to leave you with Zedadiah, I think, 3:17. The Lord, your God, is with you. You are a mighty warrior who saves. He will take great delight in you. In his love, you will no longer rebuke you, but you will rejoice over you with singing. So thank you, guys.
Letha is a great senior student. She comes with me on all my outreaches that we do most of the time. And just her light and the brightness that when she's sharing the Lord is phenomenal. Ephesians 2:8-10. Your salvation is not a reward for good behavior. It was a grace thing from start to finish. You had no hand in it. Even the gift to believe simply reflects his faith. If this could be accomplished through any action of yours, then there would be ground for boasting. We are engineered by his design. He molded and manufactured us in Christ. We are his workmanship, his poetry. We are fully fit to do good, equipped to give attractive evidence of his likeness in us in everything we do. Carly.
This thing is tall. I'm even tall, too. Chaos was the name of the game. It consumed my life for a long time. I was addicted to drugs and alcohol from the ages of 18 to 25. I first used alcohol and weed until I found meth and heroin. I used to numb my feelings, which came with a lot of consequences. I went to multiple treatment centers trying to get well, but nothing worked. On July 22nd of 2017, I had reached the end of my rope. I quit drinking and using. It was nothing short of a miracle and proof of God's goodness in my life. But to back things up a bit, in the midst of my addiction to drugs and alcohol, I developed a severe eating disorder called anorexia. Although I got clean and sober, my life was still in ruins. It was consumed by the anorexia. I was hopeless for many years, thinking I would never recover. I even attempted suicide 3 times because I could no longer cope with the fact that I wasn't getting better. At first, the anorexia was about how I looked, and very quickly it became about safety and control. It ruled my life and took so much away from me, including my marriage and my health. I've been to treatment 18 times now, so to say it's been a revolving door would be an understatement. I've been to centers where I've been held down and fed through a feeding tube, and let's just say, it didn't work. I came to a Dot and Teen Challenge, broken and knowing I needed Jesus. Since being here, I've learned what it truly means to let go of control and trust God. Isaiah 40:31 says, "But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint." Today I choose to put my trust in God. I have faith that he has healed me and is healing me. There's evidence of it, and I can see it in my daily life. For so long I knew I needed Jesus' healing, but I ran to other things to fix me. I believe today that God hears me, he loves me, and most importantly, he sees me. Even with all my flaws, he still pursues me and wants to have a relationship with me. Psalms 139:14 says, I'll praise you, for I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. I never thought I'd be okay in my own skin, but for the first time in my life, I'm starting to like who I am. I'm actually healing through the power of Jesus Christ, and I have hope. I have come a long way from where I've been, and God is still molding me into who I am in his eyes. I'm just in awe of all God has already done and will do in my life. Today I stand before you free from the heavy chains of multiple addictions. I'm a walking, talking testimony of God's love and mercy. My name is Carly Heff, and I am a child of God.
Every time I hear her testimony, it just gives me chills. It's amazing. 1 Corinthians 1:25-31. It seems so foolish that God should die mankind's death on the cross. It seems so weak of God to suffer such an insult, yet their wisest schemes and most powerful display of genius cannot even begin to comprehend or compete with God in his weakest moment on the cross. You might as well admit it, my friends. It was not your academic qualifications or your good looks or social connections that influenced God to represent you in Christ. It is almost as if God deliberately handpicked the wacky of this world to embarrass the wise, the rejects to put to shame the noble. The ones with no pedigree of any prominence, the nobodies in society, attracted God's initiative to unveil his blueprint opinion in order to redefine mankind. Thus, he rendered any other social standard entirely irrelevant, redundant, and inappropriate. Every reason for someone's boasting in themselves dwindles into insignificance before God. Of God's doing are we in Christ. He is both the genesis and genius of our wisdom, a wisdom that reveals how righteous, sanctified, and redeemed we already are in him. He is our claim to fame. And we have one last video, and then I will say one last thing and then close this up.
My name is Stephanie, and I'm from Brownsville.
Hi, my name is Adam.
My name is Jason.
My name is Joseph.
Faustino.
Amanda.
I was addicted to heroin and meth.
Drug of choice was opiates in general.
Bulimia, and then I masked that with severe alcohol.
Meth and heroin.
Addiction was like walking through hell.
The darkest time in my life.
It's very hard, and it's lonely.
Chaos everywhere, depression all the time, and anger 24/7.
My whole family had abandoned me because of all of the pain and suffering I'd caused.
And I really had no drive or no hope or just no purpose of living.
I viewed myself as a junkie.
I saw myself as worthless. I saw myself as I deserve to live under that bridge.
The Adult and Teen Challenge program for me was a place of peace, a place where I could finally find out who I was, who I was intended to be, and who, honestly, God created me to be.
The program was easy for me to be in, but it required change, and that was the hard part for me.
It was difficult, but it was worth it.
No pun intended, it's challenging. It's definitely a beautiful process, but it's in no terms easy.
The hardest year ever, but the best.
I found who I was without drugs, without alcohol, without an eating disorder.
I learned that I'm chosen, that I'm accepted, that I'm loved.
God is a God of forgiveness, of mercy, of grace.
I found freedom from the chains that I'd worn my entire life.
And I learned that my past does not define me.
My identity now and forever is I'm a child of God.
I look to his word and the truth and not to the lies of the enemy.
Honestly, it's all because of Jesus. Before, I was a dirtbag.
The trust that people have for me now, nobody trusted me before I came in this program, and now I'm responsible for a campus, men's lives. God has entrusted me with a lot, and 12 years ago, that would not have been the case.
Sponsorship was an anchor in this wild program.
The sponsorship program is designed to help people get through the program that can't financially afford it.
It helps students know that there is someone out there who cares about them and is praying for them.
It was humbling, but it was also, I didn't understand why. I didn't understand why somebody who didn't know me would want to pray for me. It was amazing because I had burnt a lot of bridges in my past, and I didn't think anybody cared enough to pray for me or want me to do better. And having a sponsor, I saw that there are people that cared.
I've seen guys who were on the brink of the edge, about to leave, and they received a letter from their sponsors, which gave them hope to stay another day.
To any of those sponsors out there that are listening that may have sponsored me, I want to say thank you.
I would like to say thank you to all of my sponsors. They all made a difference. There was days when I wanted to give up and I wanted to quit, and I know it sounds cliche, but they sent that letter and they listened to God's voice and told me exactly what I needed to hear in that moment that kept me going, kept me focused on the bigger picture and staying.
They help give that hope to somebody that doesn't have hope.
You make it possible for people like me.
Thank you to all of our current sponsors. You guys keep this program up and operational, so we can't thank you enough.
If you're considering on sponsoring a student, it can help change a life.
Help save a life. Help change a life. Put hope within reach.
A young girl walking along. A young girl walking along a beach upon which thousands of starfish had been washed up during a terrible storm. When she came to each starfish, she would pick it up and throw it back into the oceans. Into the ocean. People watched her with amusement. She had been doing this for some time when a man approached her and said, "Little girl, why are you doing this? Look at this beach. You can't save all the starfish. You can't begin to make a difference." The girl seemed crushed, suddenly deflated, but after a few moments, she bent down, picked up another starfish, and hurled it as far as she could into the ocean. Then she looked up at the man and replied, "Well, I made a difference for that one." The old man looked at the girl inquisitively and thought about what she had done and said. Inspired, he joined the little girl in throwing starfish back into the sea. Soon others joined, and all the starfish were saved. So sponsorship is such a huge part of our program. We do not require the girls to make any sort of financial payment if they cannot afford it, and we do not turn them away. The program is about $3,800 a month for each student. And so just with your, if you consider being a sponsor, it's $45 a month. You get updates on your student. You can come take them to lunch if you're ever in Missoula, or pray for them, you can call them, you just get all these updates, and it really does mean the world to these girls, because most of them don't have family when they come in, and so to know that there's people out there praying for them and that love them and support them means the world to them. And so I just want to say thank you guys for letting us come. I appreciate you. God bless.
So this is one of my two favorite Sundays of every year. We have the Adult and Teen Challenge with us. I just want to say a few words and challenge us and anybody else that might be taking this in. In 1958, David Wilkerson drove to a court hearing for some gang members. February 28th was the beginning of Adult and Teen Challenge. In 1960, the first center was established, and now there's over 250 centers. When David Wilkerson passed in 2011, I was profoundly struck by a man I had never met, had not done much following, but I had seen the impact of what he began. This is what's called discipleship. You know, discipleship wasn't making converts. We misunderstand what Jesus said. He said, "Go and make disciples." The word disciple in the Hebrew meant that you walked closely with someone that the dust of their sandals got on you. That's what this program does. It puts people in proximity with Christ, and to walk closely enough with others that the dust of their feet gets on them as they learn this. And so we are partnering in something. It didn't just happen yesterday. It was birthed in the heart of God long ago, and David Wilkerson picked it up in 1958 and began to walk it out in a program that we call Adult and Teen Challenge today. And so we are participating with what God birthed in his heart. We're participating. The pain around us is amazing. You know, my wife and I got to go on just a little 3-day outing here this week, and we went to Havre, we went to Fort Benton, we went to Great Falls, and we just did history stops. And when we were in Havre, we went to a place called Havre Under the Streets, and Havre had burnt down at one time, and when that happened, all the businesses moved down into an area where there were heating pipes running, and so they keep the businesses going. It was the middle of winter, but we walked through an area that was a brothel, and just a little area much smaller than this room where there were 30 women, beds 3 feet apart, and I stood there, and it just broke my heart. And when we left, I told my wife, history is hard because we see that the brokenness of man has always been here. It's always been here. But the hope of Christ has always been there. And we read stories about Brother Van, the first circuit rider that came off a boat in Fort Benton and preached his first sermon in a bar. We are extensions of the story. And that's what we're doing here. We're going to continue to partner in the story of hope that began with Jesus Christ and is playing out through the lives of people like David Wilkerson and through Teen Challenge in Missoula, Montana, and other centers around. But I want you just to take a minute. We're going to receive an offering for Adult and Teen Challenge. I would also challenge you to stop at their table in the back and sponsor a student. We've sponsored students for 20 years now, and we get letters every month, and we are getting better at writing back, but praying, put the pictures up on the fridge and pray for these gals. Sometimes in our own pain, we forget about the pain that's around us, and I like what Eugene Peterson said. As the body of Christ, we are called to know one another by name, right? We don't know one another by our problems. We know one another by name. We know one another by name. We share one another's pain. And together, we're all waiting for a resurrection. And so I love to see the opportunity we have to partner with them. And I always enjoy because you guys are always generous on this day. It's a great privilege to partner with Adult and Teen Challenge. Father, we thank you for your goodness towards us.